The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I've got a brand new podcast. It's all about the people who have long fascinated me. The one thing they've got in common? They're all dead. The name of my brand new podcast? Mobituaries. From the 20th century's greatest entertainer.
He was everything. I mean, he could play any instrument. He could dance like a maniac.
To the founding father, who just doesn't seem to get much respect.
This guy did everything wrong. So there's no statue, there's no signature on the Declaration of Independence.
You'll learn new things about people you thought you knew.
Were you aware that the day of your inauguration, Audrey Hepburn died?
No.
You'll learn about people who aren't real.
They did not have room in the writing for the older brother because the Fonz became the older brother.
So join me this premiere season of Mobituaries.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The world's richest man fires back at a tabloid publisher.
He also owns the Washington Post and has frequently been criticized by the president as being part of fake news.
And a political crisis in Virginia deepens.
Many voters are disgusted.
And now, from the Capital One Bank Studios in the CBS News Washington Bureau, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
Let's start this weekend with an unusual story unfolding publicly about the world's richest man, Jeff Bezos. The Amazon founder and CEO writing in a blog about what he says is an extortion and blackmail plot against him by the publisher of the National Enquirer.
Late last year, Bezos was the subject of a National Enquirer story alleging an affair with TV anchor Lauren Sanchez. Then last month, the Enquirer published personal text messages he had sent her. In a blog post, Bezos revealed he hired a well-known security expert to investigate how the Enquirer accessed his text messages. He alleges that led to a blackmail threat from David Pecker, chairman of American Media, publisher of the National Enquirer. Bezos wrote, "They said they had more of my text messages and photos that they would publish if we didn't stop our investigation." Bezos posted letters he said came from AMI, describing in graphic detail the photos the Enquirer has allegedly obtained. But Bezos wrote, "Any personal embarrassment AMI could cause me takes a back seat because there's a much more important matter involved here. If in my position I can't stand up to this kind of extortion, how many people can?" Bezos, the founder of Amazon, is the world's richest man. He also owns the Washington Post and has frequently been criticized by the president as being part of fake news.
It's really dangerous to demonize the media.
President Trump and Pecker are longtime friends. The National Enquirer has previously admitted to paying hush money to women making allegations against the president. Elaine Quijano, CBS News, New York.
AMI says its board is investigating the claims made by Bezos. Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker told the House Judiciary Committee he has not interfered in the special counsel's Russia probe as Democrats expressed frustration with Whitaker.
Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee did not appreciate Whitaker's tone at the hearing.
Mr. Attorney General, we're not joking here. And your humor is not acceptable.
And neither was his manner of answering questions.
Prior to the firing of former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, did you discuss or share your private opinions of the special counsel investigation with the chief of staff, Trump family members, and others? Yes or no?
As I previously answered, Congressman.
Yes or no, sir?
Republicans in the committee have referred to this as a dog and pony show. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Former Democratic Congressman John Dingell is being remembered after he died Thursday at age 92.
John Dingell was the dean of the House, having been elected to Congress 30 times, serving longer than anyone else. Former Michigan Democratic Party leader Lon Johnson said his accomplishments matched his tenure.
Whether it's the Civil Rights Act of the 60s, the environmental acts in the 70s, the Chrysler bailout, if you will, back in the 80s. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
A Dingell, either John or his father, held the Michigan congressional seat for 8 decades. But in his last term, he admitted the partisanship had gotten to him.
Like many of you, I have found great disappointment in this Congress.
Considered a liberal Democrat, Dingell deftly handled competing interests, championing both automakers, organized labor, and the environment. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam has stayed out of the public eye after a racist photo on his 1984 medical school yearbook page surfaced. His Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has denied a sexual assault allegation, and the Attorney General Mark Herring apologized for a photo of him in blackface in the 1980s.
I'm Jim Crisul in Richmond, Virginia. One thing is clear in the state's murky political crisis. Many voters are disgusted.
I am embarrassed.
If you're going to, go with your lies and keep going with your lies, they shouldn't be in office.
Only time will tell if Virginians are willing to forgive the top three elected Democrats who are all facing separate scandals. Jim Crisul, CBS News, Richmond, Virginia.
President Trump earned praise for his State of the Union address Tuesday. Correspondent Major Garrett looks back.
A typically combative president came with an olive branch to the democratically controlled House chamber, a place he was denied access during the partial government shutdown.
The state of our union is strong.
To avoid another shutdown, the president will need a border security deal. He called for compromise.
I stand here ready to work with you.
Mr. Trump boasted about job and wage growth, suggested troop withdrawals were coming in Afghanistan and Syria, and announced a second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam in 3 weeks.
If I had not been elected president of the United States, we would right now, in my opinion, be in a major war with North Korea.
And in a sign of things to come, the president previewed a new defense against House Democrats gearing up to investigate many aspects of his administration.
An economic miracle is taking place in the United States, and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations.
The president stuck to his hostile rhetoric about illegal immigration, referencing gangs, drug dealers, and human traffickers as threats to American citizens.
Tolerance for illegal immigration is not compassionate. It is actually very cruel.
Funding for a border barrier remains a sticking point with Democrats. Unable to get his way with the former Republican House on immigration, Mr. Trump faced a different move. And look, as scores of women lawmakers wore white to represent the suffragette movement, they shared the spotlight with guests of the First Family.
In June, I commuted Alice's sentence.
Like Alice Johnson, first-time nonviolent drug offender released from prison last June.
Officer Mattson, please.
Timothy Mattson, a SWAT officer who was shot while chasing the killer during the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. And Judah Samet, a Holocaust survivor who also survived the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, celebrating his 81st birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
A lighter moment in a typically formal and structured annual event, Major Garrett reporting. Kellyanne Conway is speaking out about a woman who she says attacked her in Bethesda, Maryland.
It was just unhinged.
Kellyanne Conway says the assault took place at a Mexican restaurant in Maryland at dinner with her teenage daughter and her friends. Conway tells CNN a woman grabbed and shook her.
She was out of control. I don't even know how to explain her to you. Her whole face was terror.
A police report filed a month later says the woman was found by looking up the name on her credit card receipt and comparing her driver's license photo to a video Conway's daughter took of the incident. The 63-year-old suspect is charged with assault and disorderly conduct and is due in court next month. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, The White House.
Coming up on the frontier of a European migrant crisis in Africa.
You don't think of Africa and the EU as having a land border, but that's what this is.
That's next on the Weekend Roundup.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
Let's go to Venezuela, where correspondent Manuel Bojorquez reports on Nicolas Maduro's lingering grasp of power, and it may all come down to food and medicine.
It could be the biggest test yet for the two men claiming to lead this country. Opposition leader Juan Guaido stands to gain ground if he can get food and medicine to where it's desperately needed. But those loyal to Maduro say they cannot be bought.
Maduro is your president.
This West Caracas barrio is as pro-Maduro as it gets. It's controlled by a so-called colectivo, groups of civilians who act as police and enforce the rule of government.
Jefferson Gonzalez is part of the colectivo.
De la educación.
We take care of people's health and education. Here, the colectivo controls access, the airwaves. So this is a direct, no-filter message to the people here. And they even have their own currency. But there's few places to spend it. So people have been in line since 5 a.m. And where you can spend it, there are long lines for food. The colectivos can be more like armed gangs. They're believed to have been part of an attack on opposition lawmakers in 2017. And they vow to stand by Maduro until the end. But there are signs support for him among the military apparatus is cracking.
My salary isn't even enough to buy food.
This Venezuelan soldier agreed to speak with CBS News' Elizabeth Palmer on the condition we hide his face and disguise his voice.
We are suffering just like the people are.
While Maduro appears almost daily on state TV to show the military support, the soldier said many in uniform are waiting for one thing.
In the National Guard, all we need is a high-ranking general to rebel, to lead the way.
White House National Security Advisor John Bolton said the U.S. would consider lifting sanctions for any senior military officer who switched sides to the opposition leader Juan Guaido. But so far, it appears the vast majority are standing firm. Manuel Bojorquez, CBS News, Caracas.
We talk a lot about immigration in this country, and of course, many other countries are also trying to cope with migration issues, including Venezuela. Correspondent Seth Doan visited one place in North Africa that many refugees see as a gateway to Europe.
In this ancient city of Melilla, the Spanish flag flies high. Folk songs from Andalusia spill into the streets and cafes. One border here is the Mediterranean, but the other, Morocco.
You don't think of Africa and the EU as having a land border, but that's what this is.
Just across the fence is Morocco. That makes Melilla and the other nearby Spanish enclave of Ceuta tantalizing destinations for migrants. From the Mediterranean, we could watch the Moroccans patrolling the other side of the border. We see the difference between the third world and the industrialized world, First Officer Jose Farron told us. You see a country with little hope. They don't have food or a future. And separated by a very thin line, a world like Europe that has future, democracy, and liberty. Spain was the top gateway to Europe for migrants last year, with more than 56,000 arrivals, more than double the number from the year before.
This fence, which is actually three separate fences, traces the border of Melilla. It runs about 7 miles long and has recently been fortified, made higher and much harder to climb. There are motion sensors, spotlights, and cameras along the perimeter here.
Spain's Border Patrol officers showed us the high-tech cameras that track body heat at their command center. At the border, they now check every car. Tighter controls have pushed smugglers to be more inventive. Francisco Maldonado showed us how they search for stowaways.
So he's saying that they put this detector on the car, and if someone is hiding inside, it'll detect a heartbeat. Now he's showing me where that shows up here on the screen.
Pass,
green.
Okay.
It's okay.
Karai Heredin, a Palestinian, told us he fled from Gaza.
What did you hear about Melilla?
If you reach there, if you arrive there, it means you are safe.
He says he snuck across the border and was not stopped, but met others at this migrant center who were not so lucky.
And they arrived here broken, legs, hands.
Injured from that process of trying to climb the wall.
I saw them.
Some who cross have the wounds to prove it. Morocco claims it stopped nearly 70,000 crossing attempts by illegal migrants in the first 9 months of 2018. We heard stories of bribery and beatings in the quest to make it to Europe. Smugglers are arrested and jailed, while migrants who make it through can apply for asylum. We don't solve the asylum problem here, Carlos Montero told us. We move them to the mainland as the asylum process is pending. Montero runs this reception center, which was built for about 700 migrants. On the day we visited, it was holding roughly double that number.
Is it hard to keep up with the need?
Yes,
it's complicated, he told us. The burden is big. we saw a school and a storage room filled with new clothes, part of the $25 million the European Union has given Spain to help with migrants.
On some level, doesn't all of this encourage people to come?
No, he answered. They want to search for a better life in Europe. Some years ago, the conditions here in these centers were not like this, and the immigrants kept on arriving.
What do you think about your future now?
I don't imagine how will be my future, but I'm sure it's better. I'm just looking for respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that's it. Respect me as a human, and I'll do all my best to be a good human.
Seth Doan, CBS News, Melilla, Spain.
Anti-Semitism on the rise in Britain.
A record 1,700 anti-Semitic hate incidents were reported last year in Britain, a 16% spike. These include life-threatening physical attacks, verbal abuse, and vandalism. Mark Gardner is communications director of the monitoring group Community Security Trust.
The reason for the rise in anti-Semitic incidents can best be explained. There's a lot more hatred, a lot more anger, a lot more division.
10% of the anti-Semitic incidents involve members and politicians of Britain's opposition Labour Party. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
In Japan, though overall crime rates have fallen to their lowest level since the mid-20th century, the country is grappling with a surge in cases of child abuse. Here's CBS News reporter Lucy Kraft in Tokyo.
Japanese authorities said child abuse cases in 2018 rose more than 20% year on year, a new high. While officials say the surge shows greater public awareness of the problem, the government response has been mixed. Japanese headlines have been dominated in recent days by the case of a 10-year-old girl who was taken into protective custody but mistakenly returned to her abusive father, who allegedly murdered her.
Lucy Kraft reporting. Coming up,
we are getting to the point where we are overestimating the value of a high-priced school or a degree.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
CBS News Radio presents the Intelligence Matters Podcast, taking you inside the biggest stories in national security.
How concerned are you?
I'm concerned that the Russians never left.
Each week, former acting director of the CIA, Michael Morell, interviews top leaders from the U.S. intelligence community.
James Clapper, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, Mike Hayden.
And lucky for you, you won't need a security clearance to listen. The Intelligence Matters Podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. From the Capital One Bank Studios in Washington, this is the CBS News Weekend Roundup. Here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
It's tax time, and lots of folks are thinking about money right now. But one person who's thinking about money year-round, CBS News senior business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Good to talk to you, Jill.
Great to be with you.
You're out with a new book, The Dumb Things Smart People Do With Their Money, 13 Ways to Right Your Financial Wrongs. Joe, let's start with people's obsession with money. What's the advantage of trying to break through that?
People are not actually programmed to make very good financial decisions. And so what I want to be clear about is that your emotions can really stymie you. And specifically, fear and greed are the biggies when it comes to your financial world. And you've got these hardwired cognitive biases that can lead you astray. So really, I wrote this book because I wanted to try to honor all of my friends and my colleagues and my former clients and my radio and podcast listeners who share their dumb things and they want to understand what they should do next. I thought, well, why do that? Let's just try to stop them before they make that dumb decision and help them understand the factors that go into this.
Well, Jill, I want to buy a motorcycle, but I walk to work. How can you stop me?
I mean, one of the things that I think is always funny is that, like, when people talk about risk, they look at this amorphous thing, like, I'm young, I'm invincible. And we know all the, you know, part of the reason I used real stories from people, changed all the names for everyone listening, don't worry. But, I mean, I wanted to use real stories because they really illustrate that people fool themselves in many ways, and they don't really understand that some of these decisions that are born out of your emotional like really like your DNA, can hurt you in very concrete ways down the line or even immediately.
Aren't you just raining on my parade? I mean, isn't that the fun part of life is indulgences?
I don't think it's a problem to have an indulgence. You know, this is not a book that says stop drinking lattes and you'll be a millionaire, because I don't believe that. This is a book that basically says I need you to contemplate some real risks in your life. And then I need you to address the fact that if you don't actually take care of those risks and you don't know where what your alternatives are, you could really get yourself in trouble. You know, I don't think you should dwell on only bad things happening, and I don't want to be a buzzkill.
So how much then should we be relying on insuring against risk?
Well, I mean, I love insurance. It's funny because on my radio show, I get a lot of nasty messages from insurance industry folks because they think I'm too hard on them. I love life insurance. I love long-term care insurance. I love the idea that you can actually pay somebody to take on risk for you. I mean, that's the best thing in the world. Most of risk in life, you can't do anything about. I can't do anything about the fact that when I cross a busy street in New York, I can't worry that I'm never going to be able to get across without a bus hitting me. I just have to look a couple times and make sure I cross appropriately and hoof it, by the way. But that said, with insurance, it's the beautiful law of large numbers. You can have a company take on the risk of maybe dying before you expect to, or becoming disabled, or having a once-in-a-generation flood take out your house. All these things, it costs a little bit of money today, and yet, if you spend that money today, you never have to worry about that risk for as long as you carry the insurance. And that, to me, is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but how much, Jill, is that buyer beware for insurance policies? Because so many people don't read the fine print, especially when it comes to things like travel insurance is a common complaint. How carefully do people still need to consider that?
I think that there is a simple rule around products in financial services, and that is if you cannot understand it after a quick 10-minute discussion with somebody or reading 10 minutes about it, you should not buy it. The more complicated the product or the policy, the less you probably want to actually own it. So it's term life more often than whole life insurance or permanent life insurance. It is not necessarily the case that every single person needs long-term care insurance, but for people who do, it's a factor of cost and how much a company is going to pay you on an ongoing basis. What do they cover? So if you don't understand it, you may want to seek the advice of somebody who is a third party. If someone is selling you something, you don't really quite understand it, one of the things you have to be clear about is, does this person actually represent my best interest? That's called the fiduciary standard. It's the one time on national radio I get to drop an F-bomb, fiduciary. And you want to ask the person who's selling you something, are you held to the fiduciary standard at all times? Meaning, do you have to put my best interest before yours or your company's?
I do also want to talk with you about college, Jill. What mistake are we or our kids making with college or even grad school debt?
I think that we all know that education is incredibly important, but I think that we are getting to the point where we are overestimating the value of a high-priced school or a degree. You really need to have a frank conversation. Let's talk about the kids first. You know, we know that a college degree does boost your lifetime income, but it doesn't come at any cost. And so we want kids to get college degrees. We don't necessarily want them going into debt, nor do we want the parents going into debt. You know, the fastest growing segment of student loan borrowers is those over the age of 60. If that does not blow your mind, boy, I don't know what does. And so when you assume that debt for your kids or your grandkids, you're putting your own retirement at risk. You are perhaps saying that I'll have to go back to work in, you know, some sort of part-time job. There are some stories about if you've got some federal loans where the government will take a portion of your Social Security out of the and take the money you owe them out of that as a payment. So what you need to know is you've got to actually consider what the family can afford. Parents need to have important conversations early with their kids, like freshman year of high school. And you want to get your kids involved in the process. And if it is you and you are thinking about a graduate degree, you really need to consider, how is this going to improve my ability to make money over time? Because if you've got a big company that's going to pay for your college, your advanced degree or a certificate program, go for it. But if that degree means you're either out of the workforce or you're borrowing money, when you come out of that program, how much more can you earn? That should be a huge question to you, and it should be part of a larger conversation you're having about how does this fit into my overall financial game plan.
CBS News senior business analyst Jill Schlesinger on the Weekend Roundup on her new book, The Dumb Things Smart People Do With Their Money. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Coming up on the Weekend Roundup, mechanics at two airlines raising concerns.
It is a shortcut environment.
Follow us on Twitter. We've got headlines at CBS News Radio. And I'm tweeting at Steve_Dorsey on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
Smoke at one Wells Fargo data center is to blame for problems with its online banking system.
Like many Wells Fargo customers, Ramiro Rivas started to worry after he tried looking at his bank balance on his phone.
I was trying to check my account online with the app from Wells Fargo, and I couldn't open it.
There are numerous reports of customers frozen out of their accounts online. In a tweet, Wells Fargo said, quote, "We're experiencing a systems issue that is causing intermittent outages, and we're working to restore services ASAP. We apologize for the inconvenience." Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
Now to new concerns about aircraft maintenance at American and Southwest Airlines, prompted by a CBS News investigation by transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
It is a shortcut environment.
Gary Santos is a longtime American Airlines mechanic based in New York. He says he's risking his job by speaking on camera.
They try to pressure the individual not to write it up.
They'd rather you not report a maintenance issue.
Right.
All 26 airline mechanics we spoke to, two-thirds from American and the rest from Southwest Airlines, described being pressured by managers to focus only on the work assigned.
If you're working, say, on landing gear and you notice that a flap 3 feet away is leaking and you write up the flap leak, you're beyond your scope.
Claims backed up by findings in several FAA whistleblower complaints about inappropriate pressure and retaliation since 2015 at the two airlines and at least 32 other anonymous industry-wide reports in the last 4 years.
The pressure is there and the threats of termination and walking you off the airfield, as they would say, are very real and commonplace.
Several American mechanics from across the country, all with decades on the job, spoke on the condition we not show their faces, saying they feared retaliation.
Significant safety issues. Things that needed to be repaired. Worn tires, worn brakes, damage to the fuselage.
The transcript of a December 2017 Southwest employee conference call shows Senior VP of Technical Operations Landon Nitschke acknowledged, "We definitely need to repair some things with the FAA. There are some things there with mechanics getting questioned, supervisors certainly getting questioned. So again, compliance, compliance, compliance."
I think any issue that's brought forward to us is taken seriously, acted upon, investigated, and we act on those. So any way we hear about an instance, we carefully review those.
Former National Transportation Safety Board member John Golia says it's unusual for so many mechanics to speak out publicly.
So to you, that would be a red flag?
It would be a field of red flags. Have someone do that, that's really above and beyond.
He believes the pressure to speed up repairs and get planes back in service faster is a problem for mechanics industry-wide.
You have 24. I probably have 100 over the last 3 or 4 years that have called me with those kinds of complaints. And I'm talking about calls from every single airline.
David Seymour is a senior vice president at American.
Safety is part of the culture. There have been some issues that we've had to address. But again, there's never been an allegation made that American Airlines flew an aircraft that was unsafe.
Should people be afraid to fly?
I'm not afraid to fly. I fly every single week, so I would say no. Should the airline management themselves be concerned? Yes.
Do you worry that pressure is going to result in an accident? Something's not going to get fixed?
Again, those things keep me up at night.
Both American and Southwest are locked in tense contract negotiations with their mechanics. One FAA official we talked to said the agency does see some complaints of undue pressure, but believes the vast majority of airline employees are trying to do the right thing. Both airlines stress safety is their top priority. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Reagan National Airport, Virginia.
A long-term care facility in Phoenix, Arizona, where an incapacitated woman was raped and later gave birth, says it's shutting down. It comes days after the nurse police accuse of raping that patient pleaded not guilty in court.
Wearing an orange prison jumpsuit, Nathan Sutherland pled not guilty in court to charges that he raped a 29-year-old patient in his care at Hacienda Healthcare in Phoenix. Staff at the facility was caught off guard when the woman gave birth last December.
Mr. Sutherland, just as you and I are, is entitled to due process of law. Mr. Sutherland is entitled to constitutional protections.
Nathan Darcy Sutherland.
Police arrested the 36-year-old licensed practical nurse after his DNA matched a blood sample from the victim's newborn son.
My understanding is that he gave the DNA sample after he found that there was a court order which compelled him to give that. He did not volunteer to give a DNA sample.
The victim had been at the facility since she was 3 years old, following a near-drowning incident. Stunned, staff members called 911 when the patient went into labor.
One of our patients just had a baby and we had no idea she was pregnant.
In a statement, Hacienda healthcare officials said Sutherland went through an extensive background check when he was hired and added they are troubled beyond words to think that a licensed practical nurse could be capable of seriously harming a patient. Sutherland remains in jail on $500,000 bond. Hillary Lane, CBS News.
A surprising amount of people do not know the signs of a heart attack, according to reporter Sabrina Cupid.
50% of people in the U.S. don't know the major common symptoms of a heart attack, says the CDC's Fleetwood Lustelot.
Recognizing that only half of people are aware of those major signs and symptoms of a heart attack really continues to reinvigorate us to raise awareness.
So they're kicking off a major campaign to do just that.
Some of the major signs and symptoms of heart attack are jaw, neck, and back discomfort, weakness or lightheadedness, chest discomfort, and shortness of breath.
He says each year there's an estimated 750,000 heart attacks in the U.S. Sabrina Cupid for CBS News Atlanta.
More young adults struggling with obesity, leading to higher cancer risks, according to researchers. Here's CBS News correspondent Tom Hansen.
The new analysis from the American Cancer Society tracking dozens of state registries finds a rising cancer risk for millennials and Gen Xers who are obese.
This is sadly as one might expect as rates of obesity go up, and they portend a really high risk of public health challenges in the years ahead.
The study shows a surprising jump for six obesity-related cancers in young adults 25 to 49 years old: colorectal, uterine, gallbladder, kidney, pancreatic, and cancer of the bone marrow. While death rates for most cancers have been on the decline for decades, Dr. Clifford Huddis of the American Society of Clinical Oncology has concerns this new trend could reverse that progress.
The amazing thing that's happened in the last few years is with the rise in obesity and the decline in tobacco use, obesity is slated to overtake tobacco to become the single most common preventable cause of cancer.
The study shows millennials face about double the risk their baby boomer parents did for obesity-related cancers affecting the reproductive and digestive systems. Experts point out it's possible to buck the trend by eating healthier and working out more at an earlier age. Tom Hansen, CBS News, New York.
Coming up, what the disappearance of endangered lemurs could mean for humans.
It's kind of ironic that an animal that is on the verge of extinction could hold the key to so many life-threatening diseases.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
This is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Every week, an extended conversation at a restaurant in our nation's capital with newsmakers like Democratic Senator Mark Warner.
What we want to try to do is give the American people the truth.
Jim Bridenstine, administrator of NASA. How close are we to space tourism?
I think we're very close.
Trump cabinet member Linda McMahon.
First time that I met Donald Trump was at a Rolling Stones concert.
Politics, policy, and a side of pop culture. The Takeout with me, Major Garrett.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
MIT researchers are exploring new ways to advance food safety. Correspondent Nikki Batiste reports.
No lettuce.
Nope.
A lot of water. There's bread.
In 2015, Allie Goldman contracted a life-threatening case of E. coli and spent more than a month in a coma.
I looked in the mirror and I didn't know who I was. I was about 95, 97 pounds.
Goldman got the bacteria after eating a spinach salad sandwich at a New York cafe. She hasn't eaten lettuce in nearly 4 years.
How's your relationship with food now?
I dread it. I live in constant fear.
But a team of scientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology could soon change that.
Will this technology be able to read E. coli in lettuce?
I hope so.
Lead in water?
I hope so.
Fake alcohol on my vacation?
Definitely.
Fadl Adib is leading the team.
If we do it ourselves.
When we first arrived at MIT, they had worked through the night to show us the early stages of a system they say could revolutionize food safety.
We hope to be able to build a portable device that a person can take with them when they're trying to buy something from a supermarket.
According to Adib, the device is pre-programmed to detect specific contaminants in products like milk and alcohol. The device reads signals from a wireless sticker on the food or beverage packaging and transmits the results to a phone app.
We want to test it for contaminants.
MIT believes the technology could help people avoid safety hazards such as tainted alcohol, which either kills or blinds hundreds of people every year. The goal is for consumers to one day be able to use the technology to test meals in restaurants and at home.
You could also envision future smart fridges that incorporate this technology to detect contaminated food or food spoilage.
While consumers like Goldman are interested in being able to detect contamination themselves, food safety lawyer Bill Marler hopes grocery stores will use the technology too.
I see the best use of this kind of technology is sort of before it hits the marketplace, before it goes on a grocery store shelf.
Professor Adib told CBS News this technology could be in people's hands within 5 years. He also hopes the system will one day detect sugar levels and calories, which could help diabetics and anyone watching their weight. Nikki Batiste, CBS News, New York.
There's new concerns about the future of lemurs. Correspondent Deborah Patta visited Madagascar to see the ways wildlife advocates are fighting for their future.
6 hours of hiking in the Ranomafana rainforest, we finally spotted one of the rarest animals in the world, a Sifaka lemur, one of only 2,000 left, and the species that could unlock the mysteries of Alzheimer's. Anthropologist Pat Wright from New York's Stony Brook University told us that lemurs share many of the same genes as humans. She's turned the island's national park into a science lab and has been studying lemurs for 30 years.
Kind of ironic that an animal that is on the verge of extinction could hold the key to so many life-threatening diseases.
That's really true. It's like burning a library. It's a real shame. But hopefully we'll be able to save these little guys and we'll be able to unlock their secrets.
Madagascar is the only place in the world that lemurs exist. There are over 100 different species, including the mouse lemur, our smallest cousin.
On the mouse lemurs, why do they hold such importance for us?
Because they get some of the same diseases that we get. A lot of the experiments on human health are done on the mouse. And the mouse is not very closely related to us, and it only lives 2 years. So you couldn't possibly study some of the long-term kind of diseases.
Alzheimer's is top of Wright's list. Her team has embedded computer chips in hundreds of lemurs so they can monitor the development of Alzheimer's for an average of 20 years. She's built a genetic data bank from her research, and her hope is it will lead to new drugs one day. But it is a race against time. Lemurs cannot survive without forests, and 95% of the lemur's natural habitat outside this park is gone. Researchers bait traps to lure the mouse lemurs inside.
Oh, a mouse lemur?
No, we check the microchip ID.
They work under a red light to mimic the nighttime conditions mouse lemurs like best and to prevent damage to their eyes. Testing the lemur's strength, think of a Fitbit for lemurs, was also a test of patience, with added thanks for thick gloves. Each one is weighed and measured. They're looking for early signs of disease or weight loss. Once the tests are over, the lemurs are released unharmed back into the wild. But now they are facing a new threat. Madagascar has been hard hit by extreme changes in weather, strong cyclones, severe drought, then torrential rain. And this year, Wright told us, the fruit trees that are the lemur's main food source did not flower.
This has never happened before. For the lemurs, it's devastating because it means they can't get fat enough to actually produce offspring. And they probably won't starve, but they certainly are going to go hungry.
The number of baby lemurs that survive beyond 6 months has dropped to 47% from 70 in just 3 years. And she told us she was shocked by other changes she'd seen on the trip.
This used to be a lake. There used to be crocodiles here last year.
Wright is fearful the devastating changes to the island spell the end of her lemurs.
Madagascar itself is like the canary in the coal mine. This island is very vulnerable. And so climate change makes a bigger impact here.
But it's a warning.
It's a warning signal to the world.
Deborah Peta reporting from Madagascar.
You've wrapped me around that cute little finger.
Legendary British actor Albert Finney, who starred as Daddy Warbucks in 1982's Annie, has died at the age of 82. Finney received 5 Oscar nominations in his 7-decade-long career, along with an Emmy and a Golden Globe Award. Finally this week, in a final goodbye to baseball great Frank Robinson, who died at the age of 83 after a long battle with bone cancer.
I'm Peter King. When the Cleveland Indians hired Frank Robinson as the big league's first African-American manager in 1974, he told CBS's Face the Nation he wasn't sure it would happen.
Every time a job would open up, my name would pop up in the papers that I would be considered for the job. Maury Wills, Elson Howard, people like that, Larry Doby, but nothing ever happened.
But the Indians said Robinson had to remain active as a player, something he didn't want to do. At a 2004 Hall of Fame interview, Robinson said he had no choice but to say yes.
If I hadn't taken this job, who knows when the door would open again.
Frank Robinson had opened the door for managers of color, as another Robinson had done for players decades earlier. Peter King, CBS News.
That does it for the Weekend Roundup. Thanks for listening. The show's always online on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. We want to get your feedback. Drop us a line at weekendroundup@cbsnews.com and let us know where and how you're listening. The Weekend Roundup is produced at the CBS News Washington Bureau. Lou Walker is the technical supervisor. Jake Rosen is the intern. Have a great week. I'm Steve Dorsey, CBS News.